Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on COVID-19, the vaccine, and barriers to accessing it. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Allison Vaux from the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana. Thank you for joining me, Allison.
Thank you, Erica. It's really wonderful to be here and to be able to share the state of the food bank post-COVID-19 and moving forward.
Yes. So I do want to talk just generally at first about your program. So Feeding America, I read the stat that 1 in 8 Hoosiers faces hunger. That's like 835,000 people in the state of Indiana. So how is the food bank working in our region to address that?
The Food Bank of Northwest Indiana is responsible for Lake County and Porter County. So that's our service area. Prior to 2020, there were nearly 100,000 individuals who were considered food insecure. And that simply can't guarantee accessibility to food on a day-to-day basis. So that's who we serve specifically. In Northwest Indiana, there were, I'm using were and post pre-COVID because things significantly changed. Mm-hmm. But prior to 2020, there was a need for about 17 million meals in order to address the rate of food insecurity in our area. And so the food bank has been working to address those numbers. The programs and services that we provide are specifically for the 17 million meals that are needed for the nearly 100,000 people who are identified as food insecure.
Now, you mentioned 17 million meals needed. So where were you all in meeting that 17 million? It seems unreachable.
We were doing it in measurable increments. Mm-hmm. So each year up until 2020, we had been serving certain numbers. So at the end of 2019, it was about 6 million meals that we had provided. And so in 2020, our goal was to increase that, was to do more, increase our program capacity, increase our service, explore new partnership opportunities and other things to be able to get closer to that goal. In our strategic plan, we had estimated that by about 2025, 2023-ish, that we would be close to meeting the goal. Mm-hmm. But 2020 completely, I'll say, upended all of that, mm-hmm. and caused us to kind of shift things and move in a different direction.
Yes, no one had a global pandemic in their strategic plan. I think we can all safely assume that. So you didn't have a chance to work from home or to step back like many people did when the pandemic first started and we had the stay-at-home order. So how, did operations change for you all?
They changed drastically. We just finished our 2020 annual report and really happy with that because it captures 2020 and how we had to shift and adjust. When the pandemic first hit, we were, like everyone else, trying to figure out how long it was going to last. Did we need to make significant changes? What do we do now? Well, immediately, Feeding America, we're a member of the Feeding America Network, along with 200 other member food banks, started sharing their insight into how the next several months were going to go, which kind of helped us to be able to prepare to move forward. Mm-hmm. So what we noticed in the first few months of the pandemic is that immediately the need and the demand for food assistance increased by about 40 to 60%. For the food bank, that meant that we also had to increase our capacity. We added additional temporary staff. We began to diversify some of our programming to serve the needs that were arising and not just continue to do things the way that we had been doing. We expanded partnerships in such an amazing way, some that are still continuing today, and really began to connect with community members and partners in order to be able to address the need.
Yeah, I think we all saw those just astonishing images of, you know, what seemed like miles long lines of cars to get food. And I know that you all had assistance from the National Guard. And as you said, lots of new community partners. Do you want to talk about some of those partnerships that you all developed? And I know some of this was maybe planned, but some of this was out of necessity, I'm sure.
Definitely. You mentioned the long lines. I think that was probably one of the most challenging things for us to deal with in 2020. Not just the service numbers, but seeing the long lines of people who had never been to a food bank, people who maybe had been to a food bank but didn't anticipate the need being as great as it was. And so along with the National Guard, we had probably about 28 National Guard who were with us from April until September, and then a portion of them remained until December to help us address the capacity and keep doing things at the level that they needed to be done. We had so many significant partnerships. I am hesitant to mention just one because there were so many different organizations and individuals. There are a couple that I must mention, have to mention. One is our premier partner, Strack and Van Til. Strack and Van Til has been a friend of the food bank since the food bank started many years ago. And their presence and support during 2020 was unparalleled. And we continue to celebrate how Strack and Van Til manages and highlights the partnership with the food bank. Another significant partner is Lake Area United Way. Lake Area United Way saw immediately that we needed to grow. We didn't have the time to plan to grow, but we needed temporary staff and some other resources that they helped provide during that time. There were others, Legacy Foundation, some tremendous work came out of the partnership with Legacy Foundation in 2020 and continues in 2021. And those are just a few. The Foundations of East Chicago, who are already a good partner, asked what we needed and how could they do more. There were the United Way of Porter County also jumped in. So the local foundations, the local funders really stepped in to help us be able to address the immediate needs. And then there were so many other partners and relationships mm-hmm. that came out of the pandemic that helped us survive and thrive, not just survive, but to thrive so that our neighbors would have the food that they needed throughout that time.
Yeah, those are some amazing partnerships. I know you had so many awesome donations and support. And so as you all are increasing your capacity, you're bringing in more volunteers, I'm sure, more staff. How did you work to keep who was volunteering and working for you safe as you were also trying to feed people who were, you know, going through the pandemic?
We had very aggressive COVID safety measures in place, safety precautions in place. Like everyone else, we made sure that masks were required, and not just required, but we also provided them for our staff and the volunteers and the National Guard, and even for some of the some of our neighbors who would come for food assistance, for our partner agencies. The generosity of so many organizations helped us to be able to continue on a regular basis to provide masks. And we also were just extremely diligent with communicating what the safety precautions were and being sure to enforce them throughout.
Yeah, the physical health and people's mental health too. You know, as you said, looking at those long lines can be so daunting, and I'm sure, you know, wearing on your emotions and your spirit. But then as you are able to do something, I think it's empowering too, right? Your staff and volunteers, I'm sure, felt empowered to
Definitely.
Be able to help. During.
Yeah, I think what kept us all strengthened, empowered, encouraged was the gratitude from our neighbors. We typically collect stories and get photos mm-hmm. and things like that, but there was an overwhelming expression of gratitude throughout the entire time that helped us keep perspective. Yes, we're essential workers. Yes, we have to be on site, but the reason that we were doing what we were doing, the reality of that was in front of us every day.
And we all know people who lost their jobs, who had, you know, very secure positions, who lost them. So I'm sure you were seeing people for the first time at the food bank who probably never thought they would need to go through a food bank line. Do you have any stories or anecdotes you can share about, you know, people even coming through maybe for the first time?
Definitely. We have so many. One in particular, there was a young man during one of our mobile market food distributions at the food bank. There was a car that was like filled to capacity. No idea why. We just know that there were lots of clothes and things like that. Looked like the car was moving. So we were capturing generic photos. We try not to include faces or anything like that in our mm-hmm. photos, not to bring any shame to anyone, but to show the impact of what's happening. So the young man called me over to his car and asked, was I taking a photo of him? And I said, oh, no, sir, absolutely not. And he said, well, you know, I normally wouldn't mind, but I don't want my parents to know that I don't have any food or anything to eat. And I said, there's no judgment from us. You know, feel free to take whatever you need. And he said, I'm glad to know that this is a resource. He heard about it on the radio, actually. Mm-hmm. And he said, I lost my job. I didn't have any other options. And I just drove here hoping that I would be able to get food. He said, I saw the long line and almost turned away. But I, you know, and he said, thank you. You know, thank you for offering this. And I am almost in tears now, I almost teared up and I said, it's my pleasure. And people who come to the food bank come from all types of different situations and circumstances. It is someone just like you or me, people with two income households that just can't make ends meet. We have widows whose husbands were the breadwinners, and now they're responsible for figuring out how to pay the bills and make their expenses. And moms with five children who are working full-time jobs and doing the best that they can, but they just need a little bit of assistance. Mm-hmm. And so during the pandemic, that's we saw them, and then we saw others who were shamed by the fact that they needed help. Mm-hmm. And our job at the food bank is to remove any evidence of shame. We want to bring dignity. It is a dignified process to be able to say that you need help and to provide that help without any judgment or any type of shame attached to that.
So how many people do you think you were serving around that time? And then now that the vaccine is out and we're getting back to some normalcy, how many people do you think you're serving now, or do you expect to serve, I guess, in the next year?
We were actually intentionally tracking. We wanted to know. In prior years, we served an average of about 25,000 people a year. In 2020, it was about 650,000.
That's an astronomical jump.
We felt it, but to be able to actually say this is what we did in 2020 was unbelievable, but it explained everything. There was about a 60% increase in demand, which also drove a 60% increase in our capacity as a food bank and our staff in every area. As we move into 2021, there is still an increase over 2019, but the 2020 numbers have declined a bit. Mm-hmm. We're still serving at an elevated level. Prior to 2020, we had two mobile markets a week on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. We're still doing about six mobile markets a week. So that speaks to the need. The need is still there. There are so many people who are in recovery mode from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They may have gone back to work, but haven't yet fully reconciled all of the expenses that, you know, developed during 2020. And so we're continuing to serve until we see that need change.
Well, I know you all are doing so much, and you have an event coming up this weekend, which I know is a way to thank a lot of the people that have been supporting you over this past year. Is there anything you want to share?
Sure. We are extremely grateful to everyone who has supported the work of the food bank. This what we provide is a basic need. People have to eat. And we constantly work to make that food assistance as accessible as possible. We're extremely excited about some of the new programs that emerged through 2020 and are continuing them, trying to figure out how to grow and build upon some of the momentum that we, some of the momentum from 2020, and also figuring out how to effectively move forward with what we learned through 2020.
And if people need access to the food bank or want to find one of your mobile sites, where can they go to get information?
To find out about food assistance, there are several different ways. We publish a monthly mobile market schedule, which can be found on our front door. If you happen to come by the food bank at 6490 Broadway in Merrillville, you can visit foodbanknwi.org, which is our website. There is a Get Help button, which lists the mobile markets and also our pantry partners and the various communities that they're in. We can email a copy of it. We also have a text messaging system. You can sign up that way. Our social media channel is very active, and we list all of our mobile markets and many mobile markets through our social media channels, just at Food Bank North of Northwest Indiana. And or you can call. You can just call and ask, and we're happy to provide the information that way.
Do you want to give that number?
Sure. The number is 219-980-1777.
Thank you so much, Allison, for being here and sharing the work that you all have been doing.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.